I realize the hour is late. We've had the Lord's Supper, and I on purpose took extra time tonight with the Lord's Supper. I just felt in my heart that was the right and the best thing to do this evening. But I promise you, if you'll listen quickly, I'll talk quickly, and I won't keep you all night. I realize we've got to go to work tomorrow, and the kids get to go to school tomorrow. And so I told you this morning the title of my sermon tonight. It is called Doctrinally Correct Music. No doubt in my mind there'll be somebody perturbed with me tonight by the end of the night. But I'm going to teach and preach what I'm going to teach and preach anyway, because I know it is correct and I know it is right. The worse and worse this generation gets, the less and less they can handle the truth about certain things. And when you go to teaching music, you'll have people in your midst that are just flat out not going to like it. And some of you already in your heart say, oh, I guess I know where he's going. I guess you're already under conviction then, because you don't know where I'm going. But if you're already bothered by it, there must be something going on that's not right. And you're already in advance bothered by it. But if you're not now, you will be in a few minutes. Colossians chapter 3. Take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Once you arrive there, stand with me if you will. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go to verse number 14. I'm going to read three verses. I'll refer to many, many verses tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Go to verse number 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 14. And then let's stand together. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And let's pray. Hide me behind the cross this night, our Savior. I pray, Lord, that people would not be offended with the truth, but be offended by error. May we not get angry with the teaching, but angry with ourselves and angry with the devil for the things that we allow in our hearts and in our minds and in our homes. Holy Spirit of God, someone that will struggle with this sermon needs an extra touch from you. Might their blinders be pulled back and their pride and their flesh be weakened and humbled to the point that they would realize you're a holy God and you want a holy people. We're not to be like the world. Tonight, may we take steps toward holiness, righteousness, being set apart in sanctification to the glorification of a holy God. Please still the people. Help them to see my heart. It's not to hurt, but to help. And may the truth be used as a tool to make us better for Jesus' sake. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Folks, the doctrines of the Bible are the teachings from the Bible that are given to us by God. We are not to believe false doctrine. We're not to live false doctrine. We're not to listen to false doctrine. We're not to read false doctrine. We're not to preach false doctrine or to write false doctrine or to memorize it or promote it. I don't think we're to purchase items that contain it. I don't think we're to teach it or meditate on it. I think we are to believe pure doctrine only. I think we're to live pure doctrine. I think we're to listen to pure doctrine and read it and preach it and write it and memorize it. I think we're to promote pure doctrine. I think we're to praise pure doctrine. I think we're to purchase items that contain pure doctrine. I think we're to teach pure doctrine. I think we're to meditate on pure doctrine. And by the way, I think we're to sing and listen to music of pure doctrine. I believe this, and I think there are 4 points, maybe 5 points to my sermon. They won't be lengthy. One will be a little lengthier than the others, and I wish I had time to expound. I won't take that time, but if you'll listen on purpose, you'll walk away with something tonight that will help you. Doctrinally, pure music. Let me teach you something, first of all, that you must accept. Number one, music is a teacher. Music is a teacher. Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16 said this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in grace with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Notice, it's talking about singing there, and it talks about music teaching. Teaching. How? Through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you understand, your music is a teacher. It used the word teaching and admonishing. The word admonishing means fervently convincing. If something is, if someone is admonishing, they are fervently convincing. How? Through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I might point this out to you there in verse number 15, it says, it speaks of the peace of God ruling in your heart. Just so you know, you'll never have the true peace of God as a Christian if you're listening to the wrong kind of music, because your music and the doctrine in your music will not produce peace. But music is a teacher. Every musician that you have ever heard or listened to has become your teacher. Do you know that everybody uses music to get their point across? Commercials, what do? They put their product to a jingle because it's easy remembered, it's easily taught. Doctrines, teachings. Why didn't we just teach the children A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but we taught them A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Why? It's a teacher. And God said, He said there, He said, "Let the words Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." So if you will all just believe what the Bible teaches, the Bible says music is a teacher. Number two, we are to learn only pure doctrine when we're taught. And we're to learn pure doctrine through our music. The doctrine of the teaching of God, the things that God wants us to know, we're going to learn those. We're going to be taught those things. And you know what we're supposed to be taught? We're supposed to be taught pure things, pure doctrine. I'm going to give some very quick scriptures, and I'm going to make some very quick applications. I wish I had 5 minutes on each one of these. I will not take that. I promised you that I would move along, and I'll do that. Let me say, dads, husbands, you should provide good doctrinal music for your family. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law." We ought to provide in our homes music that is doctrinally pure, so our children are indoctrinated with the right things. Preachers are to promote good doctrine. They're to promote it in their music. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." As a preacher, I'm to watch out for the doctrine in the music that we have in our church. That's my responsibility. As a dad, as a father, or a mom, a head of household, you ought to provide music that is doctrinally pure for your family to listen to. Might I warn all of us, stay away from any music that is contrary to sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:10 says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." God is saying, stay away from things that are contrary to sound doctrine, which would mean stay away from music that is contrary from sound doctrine. You say, why? Because music is a teacher. Next, we need to give close attention to the doctrine that we are listening to and even reading. If you read music, be careful what you're reading. Be careful what you're listening to. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and doctrine." Now, it said give attendance. You know what that means? It means give organized attention. When it says give attendance to reading, it meant give your organized attention. In other words, know what you're being taught. Know what you're being taught. We're to make sure that nobody teaches us in their music any doctrine other than that which God would want us to learn. You know, we're not supposed to learn what God doesn't want us to learn. I mean, doesn't that make sense? You don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that. You are not, God wants you to learn certain things, and there are other things He wants you to be separate from. He doesn't want you to learn those things. Well, if music is a teacher, then we better make sure what we're being taught is what God would have us and want us to be taught. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, they teach no other doctrine." The word charge there means you are to strongly challenge Timothy, people, to make sure that what they're being taught is godly doctrine. Strongly challenge. By the end of the night, you'll understand that verse a little better. Because I will strongly challenge some of you about what you're listening to, because you're letting somebody teach you something that's not pure. Be careful. There are those who teach us through their music doctrines that are contrary to godliness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 and 4 says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing." Here God said, you better be careful what you're listening to. And remember, music is a teacher. You're being indoctrinated by your music. Look, if you're bothered already and you have to roll your eyes while I'm teaching, I got news for you. It's going to get worse before we get out of here. And just so you all know, this is a subject that I'll bring up on a regular basis. The church and God's people are supposed to be different. Not like this new half-baked Christianity. And it said here that there are doctrines that are against godliness, and those that produce it, they're proud, and they know nothing. Now the world might think they're geniuses or musical artists, but God said they're proud and they don't know anything, because they're spreading the doctrines of the world. They're spreading the teachings that are contrary to the Bible. You know, music can teach strange doctrine. Strange doctrine. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." I'll tell you what, you talk about some strange teachings in the music of our day. Pretty weird stuff out there. Strange teachings, weird teachings. The devil uses music to promote his doctrine, his teaching. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In other words, there's teaching out there where the doctrines of devils is being promoted. And when I say doctrines of devils, you say, what do they, are they teaching doctrine from the satanic Bible? No, they're teaching contrary to godly living. That is the doctrine of the devil. If you were here a week ago Sunday, I told you the devil's ultimate goal is to get you to do what you want. He wants you to do anything but what God wants you to do. Devil doesn't care what music you listen to, as long as you don't listen to the music that God wants you to. He knows what he's doing. But the devil, he teaches through his music. And you don't have to be real, real smart to know the devil has used music as a tool for a long, long time. I happen to believe that Lucifer was one of the original archangels that was in heaven. And when he got cast out, one of his duties in heaven, I believe, according to the book of Ezekiel, is that he was probably in charge of music in heaven. And that's why music is such a powerful tool of the devil to this very day. I have about 60 different sermons on the subject of music. An average preacher has one. I've been preaching on it for a long, long time. I've studied. I've looked up every time the word music, melody, harmony, every time the word sing, singeth, singers, every musical instrument in the Bible. I've looked up every one of them from the very first verse in Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelation. If you'd ever like to have a conversation with me about the doctrinal portion that the Bible teaches on music, I'd be glad to talk with you about it. But don't leave here and criticize something I say unless you're willing to come and talk to me about it, because I'd be glad to talk to you all you want about what the Bible has to say about music. I could talk to you, I'm sure, in an organized fashion for at least 60 straight hours. I've done a study on it. I'll tell you why. Because when I was a young man, I was so controlled by the music of the world, I had to figure out how to get over it. And all the preacher's cute little ditties didn't get me over it. I had to have something more powerful than that. You say, what was it? It was the power of the Word of God. It was the overcoming power of the Spirit of God on the Word of God that helped me to conquer my flesh and helped me to realize music wasn't all about me, it was all about God. Listen, the devil uses music to promote his teachings and his doctrines. Hey, don't be tossed to and fro with your music selections. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Just so y'all know, if you ask me to apply that, it's saying don't be blown about by every doctrine. In other words, you don't go to our church today and say, well, I believe the doctrine of the security of the believer. And then you go to Joe Blow's church up the road. Next week, you believe you can lose your salvation. God said, you better buckle this thing down and realize what you believe and realize what the Bible said. Now, wait a minute. He's also talking about your music. I can't tell you how many people come to church and there's a certain kind of music that they think ought to be in the church, and then they'll go in their car, and if we went out there and turned their radios on and looked at their CD players, they're listening to music that is rotten and it's bad and it's doctrinally wrong. And you're tossed to and fro. You think you're to be religious at church and be a worldly, fleshly person while you're out there. You got it all wrong. You're living for God 24/7, 365 days a year. Say amen right there. Thank you. You better keep an eye on yourself concerning your music and the doctrine that's in it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. You notice it said, take heed to thyself. You say, well, I've been listening to bad music because I got with a bad friend. I know all sorts of people listen to bad music that didn't get with a bad friend. You say, why? They got into it on their own. Everybody liked to blame somebody for their bad. I'll tell you who you blame. Take a good long look in the mirror if you can handle it. Take heed, it said. We're to listen to music that is profitable for your Christianity. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. You know what the Bible teaches? Good music is going to teach you good doctrine. Your music should reprove your sinful lifestyle, not approve of it. Your music should correct you, not condone your worldliness. Your music should instruct you to do right, not to do wrong. Your music should teach you righteousness, not unrighteousness. Now, at our church, well, I ought to repeat myself, just in case you're not getting it. Music is a teacher. That's very clear in the Bible. Number two, we are to learn only pure doctrine through our music. And doctrine is a powerful teacher. Number three, our church sings doctrinally pure music. We practice doctrinally pure music here. The congregational songs. When we go through and look at the song at Calvary, we made sure that everything it said was what the Bible said. That's why we sing it. When we sing Amazing Grace, we make sure that the song Amazing Grace matches up with the Bible. When we sing Love Lifted Me or The Old Rugged Cross or The Sweet Hour of Prayer, we make sure. You know, Brother Edwards, there might be a verse or two and a song or two in the songbook we ought not sing. Somebody's slipped a verse or two in there that's not exactly on the money doctrinally. Our congregational songs, our choir music. And Brother Edwards has to put up with this with me. I'm not the kind of guy that turns a music program over and say, just go do what you want with it. No, I want to know what's going on. I'll listen to the songs being used, and if ever he slips some contemporary something in there or something that's doctrinally incorrect, he and I will meet, and I'll say, you ain't going to do that. We don't do that. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. One thing I'll try to do is try to stay feisty enough as I grow old to kick somebody's can up the road if it needs kicked up the road. Because I you know what? I'm responsible to God to make sure that things are kept doctrinally pure in the church. And there are two ways that churches are corrupted the quickest, through their music and through their educational system. The average Christian school today is so messed up, they've lost their standards, they've lost their conviction. They now practice and allow things that they would have never at the time of its inception. And then the preacher gets afraid of the music aspect of things, so he steps out of it and gives it to a musician. And in some cases, musicians won't keep it doctrinally pure. They're more caught up in the art than they are the doctrine. I'm very concerned about the doctrine of it. I'm concerned about the art of it, if you will, as well. But I'm hoping that I had the good sense, and Brother Edwards wouldn't be leading songs if I did not trust him about this. That's why he's doing it. But we're supposed to, in a church, the congregational songs are supposed to be doctrinally pure. The choir music is to be doctrinally pure. We sing the song, God's Word Changes Lives. You want to know something? If you look at the words of that is a doctrinally pure choir number.
Have thine own way, Lord. We have an anchor. I can list all of them. Our special music groups. You, all of you, some people have already. I told them, I said, well, you're going to sing some songs. You need to turn them over here so I can take a look at them and say why. Because I look at them to make sure they're doctrinally pure in content. If not, that somebody that's a good Christian, but they didn't know and they were not concentrating on the doctrine aspect of their song. They just heard it on the radio and thought, you know what? I could sound just like that. I think I'll sing that. But the problem was, it might have been a song they liked the tune to, but if God doesn't like the tune to the doctrine, it shouldn't have been sang. And so you have to watch out for it. We sang the song, It's Still the Blood, and I Stand Redeemed, and the Sun's Coming Up in the Morning. Those are great songs, but I'll tell you this, they're sang because they're doctrinally pure. So understand that music is a teacher. And we're to learn only from pure doctrine in our music. And that's how we're to learn. Our church will sing and present and practice and read doctrinal music. Well, bad music contains bad doctrine and the devil's doctrine. Rock and roll music is full of the doctrine of rebellion. And just so you know, it's produced by lost people. What else would you expect? Country music's that way. Produced by lost people. You ever listen to what it teaches? Sit down, write the words down. Take a good long look at it. And listen to this. Some of you would listen to certain country music and you think it's all okay. But I'll tell you what. If one of my Sunday school teachers around here stood up and taught your child in Sunday school what your country music teaches you through music, you'd be irate and say, preacher, do you know what they're teaching in there? But you think it's okay as long as it's in your car. It's doctrine. Rap music's that way. Christian rock, which is very dangerous. And just so you understand, the Christian rock movement is primarily pushed along by people that aren't even born again. You ask the average Christian rock and roller, how do you get saved? They have no idea. You want to know why? Because they're not saved. Check their doctrine. Check and see what they're actually teaching. And I'll burst some of your bubbles. You're going to be so mad at me. And I needed some room in the pews anyway, and probably going to get it. But the contemporary movement is the very same way. You say you believe the King James Bible, but your contemporary groups wouldn't have anything to do with the King James Bible. They don't even believe it's the Word of God. And yet, sometime, take the words, look at them, see if they're doctrinally pure. See, I'm mad at you. Well, you know what? And usually, it's people between the ages of about 15 and 22. Because you've come into yourself. Well, I'm 54 years of age, and I've tangled with plenty 21-year-olds about music. And I'm not going to change. And the world just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we go right along with it. We go right along with it. You would not believe the amount of false doctrine in the so-called Christian musics of today. I had a man. I'm going to tell you this and I'll be done. That's all you can stand. We went from that sweet Lord's Supper service to this whole mess right here. And I had a man that was saved out of the rock and roll culture. He was a rock and roller. And he got saved and started coming to church. And he came associated with teachings like this about pure music in families and in the home. This is what he told me. He said, you know, Brother Owens, he said, I hear you preach on music. At first I didn't like it. And he said, but you know what I found out? He said, I cannot listen to the Christian rock and the contemporary music of this day, he said, because when I do, it takes me back to where I came from. He said, I can't afford to go back there. I can't afford to go back to the rock and roll lifestyle. I can't afford to go back to that lifestyle that was my lost life, he said. And when I listen to the so-called new Christian music, they take me back to where I was trying to get away from. And there's a reason why some of you can't get separation down in your life. You got a connection. You got a connection. I'm done, but I'm going to make three statements. Parents, you're going to have a hard time with your children as long as they get false doctrine. Your children listen to false doctrine. You say, well, I'm not going to let them listen to any of those TV evangelists. No, 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 no. Just the radio and the CDs.
Your kids are getting false doctrine. You say, why am I having these rebellion problems? False doctrine. False doctrine. Look, hey, some of you, adults, you struggle with a bunch of things in your Christian life. Can I tell you why? False doctrine. If you're a new Christian, can I recommend something to you? Stay away from false doctrine. New Christians won't grow like they're supposed to grow if they're listening to false doctrine. And you all thought doctrine was just when the preacher stood up here and read a verse from the Bible. Oh no, doctrine is teaching. Old Christians that get backslidden almost always has something to do with they've been getting doctrine. They've been getting doctrine. Might I say that one of the challenges of building a growing, thriving church like ours is the fact that when you have a preacher that believes the old-time way, not everybody can swallow everything that he teaches. But there's still the possibility of growing and going forward if people will accept the truth. I've never had a problem with anybody. And listen, I give this to you as a personal challenge. If you want to come talk to me about music, I'll sit down and talk to you all you want. Bring your Bible. Let's do a study. Now, I'll do it tenderly, kindly. I want to teach you. But I'll tell you, don't walk away criticizing the preacher because you're mad at him because he preached on your sin. Now, if you want to sit down and talk, I'd be glad to talk with you. But just so you know, music is a teacher. And when you're learning things from that teacher that are contrary to purity and the Word of God, you will destroy your Christianity. You'll weaken it. You'll dilute it. You say, well, everybody's doing it. Let me tell you something. There's enough people in this room that come from the old-time religion, though not everybody's doing it. And there's some of you in your roots who used to believe like this. You've gotten away from it. Some of you were reared and told it was wrong to listen to bad music. I don't know who tampered with you. And if it were some preacher, what a knucklehead. Why would some preacher come along and dilute the old-time music? He should have been uplifting it. Oh, I'm not against Old MacDonald Had a Farm. There's a lot of cute and fun songs out there, by the way, that are not sinful. But boy, it doesn't take long to find a lot of junk and trash in the music. So I think the Bible teaches doctrinally pure music for the Christian. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. Maybe you have a burden or a heartache. Maybe you have a need. You can come to the altar. Maybe tonight the Lord has touched on something that you need to be careful of. Maybe you say, you know, I'm having a hard time overcoming some things in my life. Maybe it's the doctrine that you're getting. You listen to enough of the world's doctrine and doctrine produced by lost people, you're going to have a hard time being what a Christian's supposed to be. And so you know, I love you and I am your friend and I am not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. That's what your preacher's supposed to do. He is to challenge you to purify your life. And that's what I want to do. Who here would say with an uplifted hand, God's spoken to my heart in some way this evening, preacher. God's spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand? There are lots of hands up. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. If you need the altar in a moment, you can come and use it. And hey, just because somebody comes to the altar tonight does not mean that they're joining a rock band or something like that. It may mean that they're praying for you. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? There are some young people in here. You'll never become what you ought to become as a Christian until you get your heart right about your music. Through the years, I've counseled hundreds and hundreds of families. Mom and Dad say, I just cannot figure out what's going on with my son or daughter. I said, do you know what kind of music they got going? They check on that music and we find out there was some roots and some rebellion somewhere. They've been teaching them bad doctrine through their music. One of the quickest ways to a downslide and to a disaster in backsliding is wrong music. You can ruin a church just like that. Let them bring in their drum sets and their winding wild guitars. Just let them cut her loose. It's sad. It's sad. Hey, I'm for upbeat gospel music. I don't have any problem with it, but it will be controlled and it will affect the heart before it affects the foot. And it won't be presented by a bunch of Jezebels and Saturday night honky-tonkers either, just because they can sing a tune. It'll be presented by people that love the Lord, that are separated from the world, that are good role models. I have not taught harshly. You might think that I have, but I have not. I remember the first time that I heard something like this, I walked out, I was as mad as all get out. I thought that preacher nibbled in my business. Who in the world does he think he is? I can spit fire. I can remember it. But it wasn't long until God started a revival in my life and I changed music and I finally got over a bunch of my issues in my Christian life. Because I had been indoctrinated by the world. Thank you, Mrs. Owens. If you'll